Jehovah God is both the creator of mankind and the preserver of life. How grateful we can be that this is so in this time of global famine in Satan's system of things. But while millions are literally starving to death, many millions more are far more seriously experiencing death-dealing spiritual famine. Jehovah caused his prophet Amos to foretell this in Jehovah's name. Look, I will send a famine into the land, a famine not for bread, and a thirst not for water, but for hearing the words of Jehovah. Yet, at the same time, he has given strong encouragement to his own people while sounding this warning through Isaiah to those of Satan's system. Look, my own servants will eat, but you yourselves will go hungry. Look, my own servants will drink, but you yourselves will go thirsty. Look, my own servants will rejoice, but you yourselves will suffer shame. How is he making this possible? And what must we do to share in the joy of his provision for the preservation of life in time of famine? This drama deals with Joseph, the son of Jacob, in his role as preserver of life. Not only as savior of his brothers and their father, but also as preserver of Pharaoh and the Egyptians. The real-life drama of Joseph and his brothers has a striking parallel in our day. As you observe Joseph's undeserved treatment by his brothers, his tests and trials in a foreign land, along with his proved integrity and unshaken faith in Jehovah, and when you see how it all turned out for them, have in mind its application in our own lives and in Jehovah's purpose today.
Never did I think I would see this day. And now, how will this day end? And what will it mean to Jacob, my father? And to Benjamin? And to my 10 other brothers? Twenty years ago is when it started. And yet, seeing my brothers here, in this room, it seems like only yesterday. My mind's eye goes back to the plains of Dothan, where my brothers were tending our father's sheep. Our father had sent me there all the way from Hebron to inquire as to their welfare. Little did I realize when I set out the agonizing years that would intervene till this day.
How can you say, Reuben, that Joseph is not trying to find favor in the eyes of Jacob? Has not Jacob shown all the years of Joseph's life that he loves him more than all of us, his other sons?
It's true, Simeon.
But see for yourself, Reuben. Why did Israel make for Joseph a long striped shirt-like garment?
Is he not the son of his old age?
You speak out of resentment, Dan. You still smart from the bad report that Joseph brought to our father when you happened to be tending the sheep. You're taking advantage of your own father.
Well, you're a fool, Issachar. And you too, Reuben. Would you bow before Joseph? Would you uphold this ambitious dreamer of dreams and ask all of us and you yourself to get down on our knees before Joseph?
Have you forgotten
quickly the dream Joseph has just related to us? Here we were, he said, binding sheaves in the middle of the field when my sheath got up and stood erect. And here your sheaves proceeded to encircle and bow down to my sheath. Ha! Only in the dream-filled mind of Joseph would my sheath ever bow down to his. Our patience is strained to the limit, Reuben. Act now as firstborn, or those of us who are next in line will certainly not wait upon you.
What do you mean, sister? Stop this
crazy... Look! The dreamer!
Where?
The dreamer?
You mean Joseph has come?
Why should he come from Hebron all
He's
the way
come
out here to the plains of
Dothan?
This is the time that we've waited for.
How so?
Look, now he's alone here in the wilderness.
Let's kill him and pitch him into one of the water pits. Listen, my brothers. Hear my plan.
What, Simeon?
We'll certainly strip his shirt-like coat from off him and slaughter a male goat and repeatedly dip the long garment in the blood and send it back to our father.
Is this way we can tell him, examine, please, whether it's your son's long garment or not.
Yes.
Certainly Israel will accept the evidence that a vicious wild beast is surely torn to pieces.
That's a good plan.
Do not spill blood.
Kill him now.
Pitch him into the water pit.
Quiet, Reuben.
But do not lay a violent hand upon him.
Quiet, Reuben. Now's the time.
He's getting close.
Scatter out, brothers. Shh. Don't make him suspicious.
Yes.
May you have peace, my brothers.
Peace, he says.
Peace.
You will have peace.
Dreamer.
May you sleep long and well, Joseph.
What do you hear?
Because
you
come Joseph, to spy on us.
What have we to do with you, Joseph?
What have we to do with you, you
please,
dreamer?
Please, my brothers, I bring you peace from
you
our father.
You lie.
Yeah. It's to spy upon us that you've
That's
come.
Right.
Do not do this bad thing, my brothers, and bring down the gray hairs of our father Israel to Sheol.
I say kill him now.
Yes, kill him. Pitch him into the water pit.
Let him
die
for
his dreams.
What will become of his dreams?
No, my brothers, no. Do not spill blood.
He must
die.
Let
us pitch him into the water pit, and then we can decide.
Why wait?
Kill him. Kill him now.
Action is what we want.
Wait.
You too.
My brother.
Grab him.
Listen to me. Have you no love for our father Israel or for Jehovah? As Jehovah lives, I have no animosity in my heart for any of you.
Soften our hearts with your sweet words. Get rid of him.
Look, here's a dry water pit. Pitch him in here.
Pitch him into the water
pit. Done with him.
Now we'll be rid of him.
He thought he'd rule
over us. Strip off his long garment.
Take off his shirt like
garment. Tear his striped garment off him.
Off with the water pit with him.
Yes, into the water pit.
Please, my brothers, for the love of our father Israel, do not do this bad thing.
Into the water pit with him.
Throw the dreamer into the pit.
Into the pit with the dreamer of dreams.
Now we'll have done away with his
Perhaps
dreams.
Now Israel will turn his heart away from the
What should we do with him now, Judah?
We can't leave him here to starve.
Why not kill him now and have done with it?
Look. There's a caravan.
Where?
Traveling on the road to Egypt.
I don't see it.
Over there. Over there.
It looks like an Ishmaelite caravan.
I think that's what it is.
Would you buy something from the Issachar?
Come, and let's sell him to the Ishmaelites.
Sell him?
And do not let our hand be upon him. After all, he is our brother, our flesh.
Why sell him?
Why not, Simeon? Let's sell him.
You speak well, Judah. Why should his blood come to be upon our heads? Naphtali, you're the one that's fleet of foot. Run to the Ishmaelites. Tell them that we have business with
him. Well, at least we'll be rid of him.
And he'll be as good as dead.
Good.
Come, now we'll draw Joseph up out of the water pit.
Good. Come, Issachar.
So that we might sell him to the traders.
Good. Bring up the dreamer. We'll sell him.
Look.
Let him be a slave.
Here come the merchants. Now, brothers, let me deal with them.
Very well, Asher. You talk to them.
A slave, you say? And who is he, and where is he from?
Oh, never mind. He'll bring you a good price in
no,
Egypt.
No, my brothers, no! Do not do this bad
Quiet,
thing.
Quiet, dreamer.
Have mercy, my brothers.
Mercy, he says.
Have mercy.
The one who would rule over us.
He's young. He's just a boy.
Well, why, of course he's young. Are you buying toothless old men for slaves, Ishmaelite? See how strong he is, and he has spirit. You well know that Syrian slaves are highly valued in Egypt. He'll be a prince among slaves. Just look at him.
Well, perhaps for 10 silver
pieces. 10 silver pieces? Come, friend, you'd make us a laughingstock. He'll bring you 40 silver pieces. The nobles of Egypt will outbid each other.
Very well. 20 pieces of silver, and no more.
Are you agreed, my brothers?
Yes,
that's good.
Good.
That's
what
good.
Have you done, my brothers?
We've sold you.
What have you
that's
done?
That's what
you
have done, Prince of Rome.
Just as your souls have been great in my eyes, so may my soul be great in the eyes of Jehovah, that he may deliver me out of all distress.
Nephri's my faithful cupbearer. Bring me wine.
At once, O mighty Pharaoh.
The gods have forsaken the magic-practicing priests and wise men of Egypt. My counselors have lost their cunning. Here it is that I was dreaming, and it developed this morning that my spirit became agitated because of my dreams. So I sent and called all the magic-practicing priests of Egypt and all her wise men, and I went on to relate my dreams to them. But now there is no interpreter of them for Pharaoh.
Oh, forgive me, my lord, my sins I am mentioning today. 2 years ago, Pharaoh was indignant at his servants, both me and the chief of the bakers, so he committed us to the jail of the house of the chief of the bodyguard.
Yes?
We both dreamed dreams in one night, my lord, both I and he. We dreamed each one his dream with its own interpretation. And there was with us there a young man, a Hebrew.
A Hebrew?
Yes, my lord, a Hebrew, a servant of the chief of the bodyguard. When we related them to him, he proceeded to interpret our dreams to us. And it turned out, just as he interpreted to us, so it happened. Me, he returned to my office, but him, he hanged.
And who is this young man, Onephris? Speak.
He is called by the name Joseph, my lord, and he is still in the prison house of the chief of the bodyguard.
Guard, send and call Joseph. Have them bring him quickly from the prison hold.
At once, my lord.
Now, tell me, Onephris, who is this young man, Joseph, of whom you speak? And where is he from? And for what crime was he put into the prison house?
He was kidnapped from the land of Canaan, my lord, and he was brought into the land by a caravan of Ishmaelite and Midianite merchants who sold him to Potiphar, the chief of the bodyguard.
A slave?
Yes, and he is a worshiper of the god Jehovah, and his god has proved to be with him, so that Potiphar entrusted everything he has into his hand.
But why was he in prison?
Ah, then it was, my lord, that the wife of his master began to raise her eyes towards Joseph and say, "Lie down with me."
Potiphar's wife? With this Hebrew slave?
Yes, my lord. But he would refuse and would say to his master's wife, "Here my master has not withheld from me anything at all except you, because you are his wife. So how could I commit this great badness and actually sin against God?"
Is such an upright spirit to be found in all Egypt?
So it turned out that day after day, he never listened to her. And then it happened that on this day, as other days, he went into the house to perform his regular duties, and there was none of the men of the house there in the house. Then she grabbed hold of him by his garment. But Joseph left his garment in her hand and took to flight and went on outside.
A remarkable young man.
Indeed so, my lord. So it occurred that when his master came to his house, his wife accused Joseph of coming into her to make her a laughingstock.
Huh.
Then she said, "But it followed that as soon as I raised my voice and began to cry out, he then left his garment beside me and went fleeing outside."
Did Potiphar believe this story?
His anger blazed, my lord, so he gave Joseph over to the prison house, and he's continued there in the prison house down to this day.
You are certain of these matters, Onephris?
As I live, my lord, this is the truth. All of the servants in the house of Potiphar have only good to say concerning Joseph. He is a good and honest man, one full of mercy and loving kindness.
But is his God still with him?
Yes, my lord. And now that he has been put in the prison house, the chief officer has given over to Joseph's hand all the prisoners, because Jehovah is with Joseph. And what he is doing, Jehovah is making turn out successful.
The spirit of Jehovah must indeed be in this young Hebrew, Onephris.
Yes, my lord.
But look now. How long a time it's been. It must be surely that Joseph has arrived. Guard! Has Joseph arrived as yet?
I'm certain I hear them bringing him even now into the palace of the king.
Then bring him in at once. I will speak with him now.
Yes, my lord.
Come here, Joseph. I would speak with you.
As you say, my lord.
Are you Joseph, the young Hebrew, the servant of the chief of the bodyguard, sold to him by Midianite traders from Canaan?
Yes, my lord. And I am now being detained in the prison house of the chief of the bodyguard, though I have done nothing at all for which they should put me in the prison hold.
We'll see to that in the moment, Joseph. But now I have dreamed a dream, and there is no interpreter of it. And I myself have heard it said about you that you can hear a dream and interpret it.
I need not be considered. God will announce welfare to Pharaoh.
Very well. Here then is my dream. In my dream, here I was standing on the bank of the River Nile, and here ascending out of the River Nile were seven cows, fat-fleshed and beautiful in form, and they began to feed among the Nile grass. And here there were seven other cows ascending after them, poor and very bad in form and thin-fleshed. For badness, I have not seen the like of them in all the land of Egypt. And the skinny and bad cows began to eat up the first seven fat cows. So these came into their bellies, and yet it could not be known that they had come into their bellies, as their appearance was bad just as at the start. At that I woke up. After that, I saw in my dream, here there were seven ears of grain coming up on one stalk, full and good. And here there were seven ears of grain shriveled, thin, scorched by the east wind, growing up after them. And the thin ears of grain began to swallow up the seven good ears of grain. These are the dreams that I have dreamed. So I stated them to the magic practicing priests. But there was none telling me. Speak now, Joseph. What is the interpretation?
The dream of Pharaoh is but one. What the true God is doing, he has told to Pharaoh. The seven good cows are 7 years. Likewise, the seven good ears of grain are 7 years. The dream is but one. And the seven skinny and bad cows that came after them are years. And the seven empty ears of grain, scorched by the east wind, will prove to be 7 years of famine.
7 years of famine?
Yes. This is the thing that I have spoken to Pharaoh. What the true God is doing, he has caused Pharaoh to see. Here there are 7 years coming with great plenty in all the land of Egypt. But 7 years of famine will certainly rise after them. And all the plenty in the land of Egypt will certainly be forgotten. And the famine will simply consume the land. And the plenty, once in the land, will not be known as a result of that famine afterward, because it will certainly be very severe.
Oh, my disquieted soul!
And the fact that the dream was repeated to Pharaoh twice means that the thing is firmly established on the part of the true God, and the true God is speeding to do it.
These words bear witness that my dreams were of evil import. How now shall we escape this dread calamity? Joseph, has your God no word for us?
He has indeed, O king. Jehovah the true God gives to Pharaoh an answer of peace.
When what is that word, Joseph?
Let Pharaoh look for a man discreet and wise, and set him over the land of Egypt. Let Pharaoh act and appoint overseers over the land. And he must take up 1/5 of the land of Egypt during the 7 years of plenty. And let them collect all the foodstuffs of these coming good years, and let them pile up grain under Pharaoh's hand as foodstuffs in the cities, and they must safeguard it. And the foodstuffs must serve as a supply for the land for the 7 famine years, in order that the land may not be cut off by the famine.
Your wisdom is the wisdom of the true God. So shall it be. Since God has caused you to know all this, there's no one as discreet and wise as you are. You will personally be over my house, and all my people will obey you implicitly. Only as to the throne shall I be greater than you. See, Zephaniah-Paneah you will be called, and I do place you over all the land of Egypt. Go now, see to it, even as your God has revealed it to you. And may Jehovah your God be with us all because of you.
My lord, Zephaniah-Paneah?
Yes?
Tapenor, chief architect and builder to Pharaoh, is waiting to see you.
Bring him in. I'll see him. Come in, Tapenor. It's good that you've come.
May your God Jehovah grant you good health, Zephaniah-Paneah.
Is the work progressing well?
All is well. And the people have a heart for the work. Many of our storehouses are finished, and many more are nearing completion.
It's well. But see here, Tapenor. The land in this area has some of our best-producing fields. From the appearance of the crops as they are maturing, we should increase the size and number of the storage houses in this section by half again.
The crops promise indeed to be bountiful, my lord. Never have I seen the stalks of grain so tall and the head so full.
Jehovah has blessed us, even as he's foretold. So, Tapenor, see to it that the men in charge of the work in this place are notified.
It shall be done, my lord.
And, Tapenor, you prepare the plans yourself, so that all things will be done by arrangement, even as we've already made the preparations. We must keep an accurate report as the produce comes in, and at the end of this first year, be ready to expand our facilities even more as needed.
It's well, my lord. If our fields produce for 7 years as they appear this first year, we'll need the additional storage houses. But one thing concerns me.
What's that?
When the years of famine begin, and the people are not able to produce from their fields, and the peoples of the lands around us learn that there are cereals in Egypt, what will you do when they come seeking food?
There will be enough for all, Tapenor. Jehovah will provide it. We can't turn them away if they come to us in good faith. But all who come to Egypt because of their want must come to me. It is the command of Pharaoh, and I will see that they are supplied according to their needs. It's a blessing from Jehovah.
I see more strangers have arrived in Egypt. And are you too here to purchase grain from the Egyptians?
We are, my lord. We are from the land of Canaan.
Has the famine then reached even to your land?
As far as the lands of the great river, and even beyond the mountains. But are there truly cereals in Egypt?
There are, because of Zephaniah-Paneah and the god he worships.
Zephaniah-Paneah? Who is this one?
He's the one whom Pharaoh has put over all the land of Egypt. It's only 2 years now that the famine has afflicted Egypt, but during the 7 years of plenty that have preceded the famine, the land went on producing by the handfuls. And during the 7 years of plenty, he proceeded to collect all the foodstuffs, piling up grain in very great quantity, like the sand of the sea, until finally we gave up counting it because it was without number. Finally, the 7 years of plenty gradually ended, and in turn the famine has started to come, just as Zaphnath-Paneah's God revealed it to him. And he's even said that there's going to be 7 years of famine throughout all the earth.
Oh, 7 years. And already our people are starving.
How then are we to obtain grain for our people?
Zaphnath-Paneah is the man in power over the land. But he's a merciful and a compassionate man, as a father of fatherless boys and as a judge of widows. And he's the one that does the selling to all the people of the earth. It's to him that you must make your petition.
And how and where may we see this man?
This is where we'll find him. He'll be arriving soon. This is the man who is the lord of the country. It's to him that you must make your petition.
These men are Hebrews from the land of Canaan. I will speak to them only in the tongue of the Egyptians. See that you do not betray me. I would not have them know that I, too, understand their language. I will speak to them only through my interpreter. Do you understand?
I understand, my lord. It shall be even as you say.
Oh, my brothers, my brothers. How vividly my dreams come back to me now. My dream of the sheaves and of the 11 stars, all bowing down. Yet now you come to me in this, your time of distress. How am I to conduct myself in this matter?
Olan Sowach, kuadet metachu.
Where have you come from?
From the land of Canaan, my lord, to buy foodstuffs.
Kukunian midir getachin, mugiblegazu.
Olan kubinyach nachu. We midarun kuften at lutayu metachu while.
You are spies. You have come to see the exposed condition of the land.
No, my lord. But your servants have come to buy foodstuffs. We are all of us sons of but one man. We are upright men. Your servants do not act as spies.
Ayi delum ge tachin. Inya halachin ya andu soli jachnin. Inya kin nachnin. Gubinyach ayi honem.
Is your father yet alive?
Your slave, our father, indeed lives, my lord.
You are but 10 brothers? There are no others?
Your servants are 12 brothers, my lord. We are the sons of but one man in the land of Canaan. And here the youngest is with our father today, whereas the other one is no more.
Ihi neger aderagu atemotem. Ene uxiab hera faralu. Duhanot suach kuhonnachu. Kulant ondwandemanchu yetasur bugozotachu. Betulantem hido. Tamasunem wandemanchahun waddena yezachahut.
Do this then, and keep alive. I fear the true God. Let one of your brothers be kept bound in custody. But the rest of you go. Take cereals for the famine in your houses. Then you will bring your youngest brother to me, that I may know that you are no spies, but you are upright.
We cannot carry this message to our aged father, nor can we bring Benjamin down here to Egypt.
The loss of Benjamin will bring him down to Sheol.
It's because of Joseph. Joseph, that his calamity has come upon us.
Unquestionably, we are guilty with regard to our brother.
Guilty.
Because we saw the distress of his soul when he implored compassion on our part. But we did not listen. That is why this distress has come upon us.
We deserve it. It is our sin. He was our brother.
This one is to be bound and kept in custody. Then you are to fill up their receptacles with grain. Also, you are to return the money of each man to his own individual sack. Then you are to give them provisions for the journey.
See that the cereals are loaded upon their asses, and that they are sent on their way from here.
It shall be done, just as you say, my lord.
Oh, no!
Look,
what are you doing?
Simeon, away!
My brothers! How could they do this thing? Father! How could they do this?
Yehin semuena, tutonkuk. Fitein atau. Unde manchu kulant gara kalhunne.
Hear this, and listen carefully. You must not see my face again unless your brother is with you.
Why is it that we've been brought to the house of the Lord of the country? Can we not do business with him as you did formerly?
It is strange, Benjamin. But when we went to the place, we were told by the men in charge that the Lord of the country would have us come to his house because we are to eat with him at noon.
It's a plot. He has evil designs against
us. It's because of the money that went back with us in our bags.
May Jehovah have mercy. I fear for you, Benjamin. Had we not finished eating all the cereals obtained in our last visit, and were our families not again in sore straits for food, your father would never have let you accompany us. And now I stand surety with our father for your life.
But the man did say, "You must not see my face again unless your brother is with you."
Yes, those were his words.
That's true, Benjamin. Ah, there's the man in charge of the house. Perhaps he'll put in a word for us to the man who is lord of the country. Excuse us, my lord. We surely did come down at the start to buy food. But when we came to the lodging place and began opening our bags, why, here was the money of each one in the mouth of his bag. So we would like to return it with our own hands.
Yes. Money. Let us return them.
And more money we've brought to buy food. We certainly do not know who placed our money in our bags.
We're honest. We're doing this whole thing.
It's all right with you. Do not be afraid. Your God and the God of your fathers gave you treasure in your bags. Be assured, your money came first to me. It's all right.
My brothers!
And see now?
Seriously?
Brother Simeon.
Did they treat you well?
Did they keep you in the prison?
How are you mistreated at all?
Tell us, please. How does the Lord of the country feel toward us?
Is he still angry?
Simeon, why do you think he has brought us here?
Do not know, my brothers. I do not know. All I know is that I was in the prison and now I'm released and I'm here with you.
So good to be with you.
May Jehovah do to us according to his own pleasure.
Perhaps now that Benjamin is with us, the Lord of the country will deal kindly with us.
Now that Benjamin is with us.
There's the man now.
See, my lord, we have returned and we have brought you gifts. Our land is starving, even as yours is. But we do have balsam and honey, and labdanum and resinous bark, pistachio nuts and almonds. We have brought them to you as a gift from our Father, who wishes you well and prays that you may have peace.
Is your father, the aged man of whom you have spoken, getting along well? Is he still alive?
Your servant, our father, is getting along well. He is still alive.
Is this your brother, the youngest one of whom you've spoken to me?
It is, my lord.
And what is your name, my son?
Your servant was called by my mother as she gave birth to me, Benoni. But I am called Benjamin by your servant, my father.
You had another brother, one who is no longer with you. Did you know him?
Yes, my lord. He was my own brother. From the same womb we came forth. I was but a child when he died, but I loved him dearly, even as did our aged father.
And how did your brother die, Benjamin?
He was torn by a wild animal, my lord.
Did you witness his death?
No, my lord. But he wore a long, striped, shirt-like garment that our father had made for him. And on this occasion, our 10 brothers brought the long garment to our father, and it was stained with blood. And our father went examining it and exclaimed, "It's my son's long garment. A vicious wild beast must have surely torn Joseph to pieces." With that, Jacob, our father, ripped his mantles apart and put sackcloth upon his hips, saying, "For I shall go down mourning to my son into Sheol." And our father continues to weep for him, my lord, though these many years have passed.
May Jehovah, the God of our fathers, have mercy on us.
May God show you his favor, my son.
Take these men out that they may be prepared, and then set on the meal.
It shall be done, just as you say, my lord.
Oh, Benjamin, my brother, what is this that Jehovah has done for us in bringing me here into Egypt? How my heart yearns for you and our father Israel, that I might see him again. But how am I to know whether the sin that our brothers have committed against Jehovah and against our father Israel has been forgiven by our God? May Jehovah grant me the wisdom to search their hearts through.
Everything is prepared for the meal, my lord. The men are seated at the table before you just as you directed, from the firstborn to the youngest.
Here now is what I would have you do. When we have finished, I would have you fill the bags of the men with food to the extent that they are able to carry it, and place the money of each one in the mouth of his bag. But you must place my cup, the silver cup, in the mouth of the bag of the youngest, and the money for his cereals.
Your silver cup, my lord?
Even so. Do as I have commanded you.
It shall be done, just as you have said, my lord.
We'll sit our bags here for a moment in order that our asses may have water and food.
I'm so thirsty.
We'll refresh ourselves also, and then we'll continue on our journey.
As you say, Judah. Asher, did you see to the asses?
Look, a chariot.
What?
It's an Egyptian chariot.
Why, it's approaching us.
He's going to stop here.
It's the attendant of the lord of the country.
What could he...
What's happened now?
I've overtaken you here. Now I can deliver to you the message my lord has sent to you.
Speak. We're listening.
Yeah, we will.
This is what my lord would have me say to you. Why have you men repaid bad for good?
What? What's he talking about?
Why have you stolen the silver cup of my lord?
What?
Is this not the thing my master drinks from, and by means of which he expertly reads omens? It's a bad deed you've committed.
No.
Not so, my lord.
If anyone has this cup, let him be punished.
Let it be now, exactly according to your words. Thus the one with whom it may be found will become a slave to my lord. But you yourselves will be proved innocent.
Yes, we're innocent.
Here, all of you, bring your bags.
Here's all right.
Here's my bag.
Here, you, the firstborn, open your bag.
It's my bundle of money. Again, when return to me in the mouth of my
It's
sack.
Even as I had said.
Oh, look, he's looking at all their bags. Everyone I can't understand that. Each one.
What is this? How can it be?
And now he's
How about Benjamin?
Here, the youngest. Open, please, your bag.
As you request, my lord.
Ah, Your money is here. Yes. But look, see? Even as my master said, here is the cup that belongs to my master.
In Benjamin's sack? How is this possible?
An enemy has done this.
Have mercy on the boy, my lord. Have mercy. Yes.
Oh, my brother, my brother.
I didn't take it.
What is this that has happened to us?
But Judah,
what now is to become of our father, Israel? Surely his gray hairs will come down to Sheol in grief.
He will surely die in grief.
Die of grief.
Come now, load up your beasts. You must answer to the Lord of the land of Egypt for this bad deed.
Never did I think I would see this day. And now, how will this day end? And what will it mean to Jacob, my father? And to Benjamin? And to my 10 other brothers? Twenty years ago is when it started. And yet, seeing my brothers here, in this room, it seems like only yesterday. My mind's eye goes back to the plains of Dothan, where my brothers were tending our father's sheep. Our father had sent me there all the way from Hebron to inquire as to their welfare. Little did I realize when I set out the agonizing years that would intervene till this day. But this day has come. Will it be a day of retribution or a day of blessing? To what end has Jehovah sent me here to Egypt? Have I acted discreetly? Will their hearts indeed be searched through? How it pains me to see their grief. But I must carry this to its completion. May Jehovah grant the outcome to his own praise.
My lord?
Yes, the men from Canaan?
They're returning in custody of the guard. But there's another matter that needs your attention.
Speak. What is it?
Representatives of our own people are here from the region of the Upper Nile and the Lower Nile and the lands in between. They have an urgent matter that requires your decision.
Bring them in, please. I'll hear their problem. You men are here from the regions of the Upper and Lower Nile and the lands in between?
We are, my lord.
We've indeed come to seek your
face. Our people have sent us with an urgent request, my lord.
You may speak. What is their request?
The money of all the people of Egypt is nearly spent.
Yet their food is gone, and our people are hungry.
What can we tell our people, my lord? Our people are in need, and yet there is still much food in the storage houses.
Tell your people to bring in their livestock for Pharaoh, and I shall give them bread in exchange.
My lord, there are still 5 years of famine, as you yourself have said. What shall we do when the stock of domestic animals has been spent too, my lord?
What shall we tell our people then, my lord?
For then we will have only our bodies and our land. Why then should we die before the eyes of my lord, both we and our land?
When the people come and say, "Buy us and our land for bread, and we together with our land will become slaves to Pharaoh," then we shall give them bread.
and we shall move the people into the cities we have prepared for them, and they will be provided for. And when the famine nears its end, then you can return to the land that is Pharaoh's, and you will be given seed, and you must sow the land with it. And when it has resulted in produce, then you must give a fifth to Pharaoh, but four parts will become yours, as seed for the land, and as food for those who are in your houses, and for your little ones to eat. And I will have bought you and your land as slaves for Pharaoh.
It is a just and merciful
arrangement. You have preserved our lives.
Let us find favor in the eyes of my lord, and we will become slaves to Pharaoh.
The men from Canaan have returned, my lord.
Bring them in.
Ye hen yader gachahoot nigger minder no.
What sort of deed is this that you have done? Did you not know that such a man as I am can expertly read omens?
The true God has found the error of your slaves. Here we are slaves to my master, both we and the one in whose hand the cup was found.
Inya lorgata cho barochnin, inya tseaum korsu zin yeta inya betu degmo.
A ye honlinyam yehin I derig, tse waum yete hinya betu so ersu barreya ye honnen.
It is unthinkable for me to do this. The man in whose hand the cup was found is the one who will become a slave to me. As for the rest of you, go up in peace to your father.
I pray you, my master, please let your slave speak a word in the hearing of my master. We went up to your slave, my father, and told him all the words my master had spoken to us. And later our father said, return, buy a little food for us. But we said, we are not able to go down, because we are not able to see the man's face, in case our youngest brother is not with us. Then your slave, my father, said to us, you yourselves well know that my wife bore but two sons to me. Later, the one went out from my company, and I exclaimed, oh, he must surely be torn to pieces. And I have not seen him till now. If you were to take this one also out of my sight, and a fatal accident were to befall him, you would certainly bring down my gray hairs with calamity to Sheol. And now, as soon as I should come to your slave, my father, without the boy. So now, please, let your slave stay instead of the boy as a slave to my master, that the boy may go up with his brothers. For how can I go up to my father without the boy along with me, for fear that then I may look upon the calamity that will find out my father?
I can bear no more.
Listen.
Do you not know who I am?
He speaks our language.
Lord,
he
does indeed.
I am Joseph. See, Joseph. I am your brother.
Did he say Joseph?
No. This is Joseph.
I have known you from the first.
It's Egyptian.
It's the voice of Joseph.
Tell me,
may
please.
May Jehovah have mercy
on us. Is my father
us.
Still alive? Come. Come close to me, please. Joseph. Do you continue to doubt?
What could this thing mean?
See, I am Joseph, your brother, whom you sold into Egypt.
Now what will become of us?
Surely Jehovah's judgment has come back upon our own heads.
Now Jehovah will do to us, through Joseph, what we tried to do to him.
No.
Do not hold back in fear, my brothers. For has Jehovah not brought us together again? Oh, Benjamin, Benjamin, my brother.
Joseph.
You have been restored to me at last.
My own brother. Never did I hope to see you alive. Look, Judah, Reuben, Dan, it is Joseph.
Yes, it is.
This our is brother he? Was dead and he's come to life again.
I beseech you now, Joseph. Pardon, please, the revolt of the servants
yes,
of your father's God.
Forgive us, Joseph.
And our sin in that we have rendered evil
please,
to you.
Please, please do not harbor resentment against us, because we are slaves to you.
Do not be afraid, my brothers, for am I in the place of God? As for you, you had evil in
Joseph,
mind against me.
My brother.
But now do not feel hurt, and do not be angry with yourselves because you sold me here. Because for the preservation of life, God has sent me ahead of you. And now, my brothers, go up quickly to my father, and you must say to him, this is what your son Joseph has said. God has appointed me Lord for all Egypt. Come down to me. Do not delay. And you must dwell in the land of Goshen, and you must continue near me. You and your sons, and the sons of your sons, and your flocks and your herds, and everything you have. And I will supply you food there. For this is the second year of the famine in the midst of the earth, and there are yet 5 years in which there will be no plowing time or harvest. Consequently, God sent me ahead of you in order to place a remnant for you men in the earth, and to keep you alive by a great escape. So go quickly, and do not get exasperated at one another along the way. You must tell my father about all my glory in Egypt and everything you have seen. And you must hurry and bring my father down here to me, that we may be united once more. So now it was not you who sent me here, but it was the true God, that he might appoint me as a father to Pharaoh, and a lord for all his house, and as one dominating over all the land of Egypt. May Jehovah go with you and keep you safe until you return.
Do not be angry with yourselves because you sold me here. Because for the preservation of life, God has sent me ahead of you. Joseph's brothers had evil in mind against him, but Jehovah used their ill will to fulfill his own purpose. Today, Christ Jesus is the greater Joseph, who through adversity became the bread of life amid a world of famine, for hearing the word of Jehovah. Benjamin pictured the active anointed remnant today. And one of his 10 half-brothers, as well as the Egyptians who sold their land and themselves to become slaves of Pharaoh. They represent those of the great crowd coming out of famine-stricken Christendom and Babylon the Great. These persons are described at Isaiah 2, 2 and 3. Do you see yourself in the place of spiritual plenty, being joined by many people, saying, come, you people, and let us go up to the mountain of Jehovah, to the house of the God of Jacob, and he will instruct us about his ways, and we will walk in his paths. For out of Zion law will go forth, and the word of Jehovah out of Jerusalem. In contrast with the spiritual famine in the land outside of Jehovah's favor, there is an abundance of spiritual food in Jehovah's place of worship. Yes, whereas there is a famine for hearing the words of Jehovah in Christendom, as Amos foretold, the word of Jehovah does go forth out of heavenly Jerusalem. But to hear that word and be sustained, what must those do who want to be preserved alive through this critical period and into the righteous new world? They must be prepared to deny themselves in order to receive life and its blessings through the provision of Christ Jesus, whose slaves they become when they dedicate themselves to Jehovah. Joseph heaped up food in the storage cities and then moved the people into the cities when their land became Pharaoh's. So the greater Joseph, Jesus Christ, has supplied an abundance of life-giving spiritual food to spiritually hungry ones who are gathered into Christian congregations that serve as centers of divine education. Not only did Joseph give the people food to eat, but he gave them grain for seed. He demonstrated his loving concern and mercy to all, even for those who had ill-treated him. So today, we have the great privilege, under the direction of the greater Joseph, Jesus Christ, to sow seeds of truth and spread the good news that spiritual food is available. This we do for the benefit of all who accept the terms and provisions lovingly arranged by the sovereign ruler, Jehovah. How grateful we can be to our God for the gift of His Son, the greater Joseph, who serves as the wise administrator of spiritual food. He has been delegated by Jehovah to act as the preserver of life in this time of spiritual famine. Let each one of us show diligence in rendering service under His leadership.